Dooby-dooby-doo, where are you? We got some work to do now.
Happy birthday, Scooby-Doo.
Happy birthday, Scoob.
Welcome, welcome to a very special episode of the Mystery Machine Diaries, celebrating 50 years of everyone's favorite cartoon dog and his meddling kid friends. It has been 50 years, Christopher.
50 years of solving mysteries. 50 years of driving around in that sweet van. 50 years of sandwiches.
Oh, sandwiches.
They eat a lot of sandwiches.
They do. So we couldn't let the anniversary go by without doing a very special episode, like a very special episode of Blossom.
Happy birthday to you, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that was good. Did you plan that?
No, that's the name. Going to be the name of the episode, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Daniel, write that down. Right. I am Brad Taylor. I am your host, your ghost host for this retrospective on everything Scooby, or as much as we can fit in to the time frame. I am joined, as always, by my sidekick, a pup named
Chris,
and my meddling producer, Daniel, behind the keyboards, adding fun things. But here we are, 50 years later, Scooby-Doo, that's why you're listening to the podcast. But if you want to find us on any given day, you can go on Facebook, look us up under Mystery Machine Diaries. A lot of you are doing so keep on doing that. We want to hear from you. I want to see you. And we really want to interact with you. That's why we're doing this. You can also go to Instagram.
At Mystery Machine Diaries. You can send us messages there as well. And check out our posts for the latest Scooby News.
Scooby News. And wherever you're listening to us, hopefully you're listening to us. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, and hopefully by now, iTunes. But wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe and please leave us feedback. We want to learn and grow and have fun with all of you.
Tell us what we like or what you like. Tell us what you don't like.
Tell us what we like because someone's got to at this point. Yes, please tell us what we like. We are also going to have a contest. I said we would announce it, and we are going to have a fun contest now.
Ooh.
So all you meddling kids out there, I want you to send me your favorite picture of you with Scooby-Doo. I don't care if it's an old picture, if it's a new picture. It's just you with some Scooby-Doo doll, with the Scooby-Doo onesie on.
But Scooby-Doo merch, if you've actually met the gang, got a picture with them. Let us see it.
If you have a picture from 1982 from a scary theme park, and you meet a scary
Perfect.
Scooby-Doo. But I want to see it, and then we will pick a winner. And that winner will get a very Scoob-tastic prize.
George! Jeepers! Jinkies!
Dang! I still don't have a catchphrase!
Gets me every time. He still doesn't, not really. But we'll give you a special prize. But once again, any picture of you with Scooby-Doo, we want to see it. And we'll post them on our Facebook page, maybe the Instagram page. But
that'll be all over the Instagram. We'll put all your
I say that because
up.
Christopher is in charge of the Instagram.
I've
and,
been neglecting it a little bit, but we'll get it going. Don't worry.
But once again, 50 years of a talking dog and his friends. The year is actually 1968 where all this begins. 1968. We had a lot of action cartoons in 1968. Hanna-Barbera was producing Herculoids, Birdman, Galaxy Trio, and Space Ghost. And as amazing as those cartoons were, people thought they were too violent. And there was a group called Action for Children's Television, called ACT. And they were protesting. They were protesting Hanna-Barbera and Saturday morning cartoons. They were under fire.
I have heard of this group, and apparently they had got pretty powerful and made a lot of changes in programming. And a lot of these animation studios really had to change up what they were doing to...
They did
please these angry, grumpy adults,
and they would come back in the '80s as well, and they're partially part of the reason that we have He-Man, so we can thank them for that. But back to the '60s, Fred Silverman, he was executive producer for CBS cartoons, and he was sweating it. He wanted some new cartoons for his Saturday morning lineup. Hopefully, you all remember Saturday morning cartoons. Do you, Chris? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Cartoons?
Yeah, I was
Daniel, did they have Saturday morning cartoons? Because you guys are both the same age, correct? 34?
Somewhere in there.
I am 45, and I definitely remember Scooby-Doo Saturday mornings, and now it's on all the time.
I think I remember a pup named Scooby-Doo as being on, like, when I was the age to be watching those kind of Saturday morning cartoons. But the reruns of the classics were always in the mix as well. Maybe not on Saturday morning, but you could catch that on Boomerang or whatever pretty frequently.
Boomerang.
They were played pretty often.
We didn't have Boomerang in my day.
Well.
You had to wake up the right time, usually 7 a.m.
Oh, I remember when Boomerang launched, and it was a big deal. I was very excited as a kid that there was going to be a whole channel just dedicated to cartoons, especially the classic cartoons. That
and if you download, exciting. If you download the Boomerang app, they have all iterations of Scooby-Doo on there for you.
And some new stuff. And that is how we are watching Mysteries, Inc. as well.
So that, yeah. So it's not that expensive. I think it's like $6 a month. And they have some really, really good back catalog of Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
It's pretty great. I highly recommend it as a fan of animation.
And it definitely helped us revisit Scooby-Doo and get ready for the podcast. But yeah, Fred Silverman was looking for a new show that would revitalize Saturday morning. And he was kind of trying to rip off the Archies. Now, this is before, it makes me feel old, before you two were around, the Archies, based on Archie Comics, they had a cartoon. And they had the number one song in America was Sugar. Sugar, Sugar.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was from that.
It was from the cartoon, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay.
And that just struck like lightning, so they wanted to capture that. We talk about how Scooby-Doo has so many ripoffs these days, but Scooby-Doo itself was inspired by the Archies. The show is called The Archies.
Is that why so many of the Scooby ripoffs feature a band?
A band?
Like the Meddling Kids are usually in a band?
Why, yes, Christopher.
There you go.
Because the original iteration of Scooby-Doo, they were a band. But before we get to that point, yeah, they wanted to capitalize on the success of Archies, but also they wanted to capitalize on the success of a show called The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis that was on television. Once again, they're both people are looking at me
blank
like
stares
I am
all
a zombie.
Around.
It was the first comedy featuring teenagers. It was about teenagers, four teenagers, and it starred a guy who played Dobie Gillis, who looked a lot like Fred, and he had a beatnik sidekick.
Ah.
Who was played by Bob Denver, who would go on to play on Gilligan's Island as Gilligan. But Dobie Gillis also had one of his many loves, looked a lot like Daphne, I'm just saying. But it was a very popular show, so they wanted to capitalize on that as well. So they tried to merge those two things together, Archies and Dobie Gillis.
This is a live-action show,
yes,
to
it's
be
a live-action show, black and white. You can still catch it some places.
I'm going to have to at least see the pilot of that.
Oh,
that sounds really interesting.
It's a cute show. It's a cute show. And yeah, I almost said Shaggy. But Bob Denver on the show, he's a beatnik. He plays the bongo drums.
I could see him as a great Shaggy-ish character.
So when they're trying to develop their own version, they called it the House of Mystery. That was the first
version. I like the name.
It's a great name. They sold it to Hanna-Barbera. And Hanna-Barbera was going to produce it, so they handed it to Joe Ruby and Ken Spears. If you've watched any Saturday morning cartoon in the late 70s, early 80s, they're behind all those.
You said they did all of them, right?
They did
much.
All of them. You know, even things like Rubik's The Amazing Cube, they were behind that.
That was an actual show?
It was
show?
An actual cartoon.
Oh, I'm going to need to see that, too.
And the theme song was sung by Menudo.
Oh, man.
It's
definitely got to see that.
And when you watch any iteration of Scooby-Doo, it thanks Ruby and Spears for creating the show. And they got a guy named... Oh, God. This is the song.
I can't wait to watch this. This is great.
Now, the cube... Now we're going off track. But the cube in Rubik's Cube was... Imagine Rubik's Cube with the face of a gremlin.
Oh, God. That's way scarier than I was expecting.
And he was like a genie, and he had a weird high-pitched voice, and he would solve mysteries with the Latino kids.
I don't like any of that.
But then every episode he would fall or something, and his colors would get mixed up, and the kids would have to solve the Rubik's Cube really fast, otherwise they'd get murdered. And That is the show. It lasted one season for some reason.
The golden age of television. I assume at this point you could just walk into a studio and say, we're going to do, look around the room, a show based on a desk lamp. And they're just like, brilliant, do it, print it.
But, I mean, this is the 80s. The Rubik's Cube was the hottest thing for a toy in a long time.
Did we ever get a Pet Rock show?
I'd imagine it was pitched. If it didn't happen.
They did Rubik's Cube. Someone must have pitched Pet Rock.
Wow, I can't believe you played that song. That just sent shivers down my spine. But there was a man named Iweo Takamoto. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but he was the artist behind Scooby-Doo and behind just about every Hanna-Barbera cartoon at the time. They tasked him with designing the treatment based in part on the Archie show. They changed the name again. Instead of House of Mystery, it was Mysteries 5, which I think is also a great name.
That would be a good name for their band.
And it featured five teenagers, Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Linda's brother, WW, along with their dog called Too Much, T-O-O-M-U-C-H, Too Much. And they collectively formed the band Mysteries 5. They were a band called Mysteries 5, which if anyone out there has a band or wants a band, that's a great name for a band. Mystery for Five, we're not performing gigs or solving mysteries. So that was the basis for the show. It had ghosts, supernatural creatures. The creators, Ruby and Spears, were unable to decide whether they wanted Too Much, the dog, to be a big dog or a small, feisty one. So when the former was chosen, they wrote Too Much as a Great Dane.
Mm-hmm.
But they revised the dog's characters. Later, they scratched the idea. And he became a sheepdog. But then they got in trouble because Archie's dog was a sheepdog.
Oh.
So
too close.
Too close. So then they went back to the Great Dane idea, but then everyone thought he'd get mixed up with Marmaduke.
Oh, yeah.
Who was very popular at the time, comic strip character. Later he got his own cartoon as well. But Fred Silverman, the producer, the creative producer, rejected it. And they kept going back and forth between the Great Dane and the Sheepdog. Finally, they decided on the Great Dane. Mr. Takamoto went to look at all Great Danes, and he looked at the really pretty ones, but he wanted to design the worst version of a Great Dane. So every characteristic that's positive, he turned into a negative. So like a bad back, you know, things that you would, if it was a dog show, that if you would judge
like all
it,
the least desirable qualities. Yeah, the least desirable qualities. At the dog show.
And so Too Much became...
That's cute. I like
it
that.
It is cute.
Like, yeah. Because he's goofy, bumbling. Yeah, that's perfect.
They gave him overly bowed legs, a double chin, a slot back, and different abnormalities, which gives him character. The second pass of the show, they got rid of some of the characters. They went through different versions, different iterations before they finally... settled on.
Well, they scrapped all the other characters.
They did. They scrapped
yeah.
all the characters. It went down to four. And the teens were now, there are four teens that we know today. Fred, Daphne, Velma, Shaggy. But the dog was still called Too Much. They still hadn't changed the name yet. And the show was renamed again to called Who's Scared, which I also think is a great name. But there was three S's. Who's scared is
oh, I like that.
But when they showed the episode, it was too scary.
Oh, really?
Apparently, they went pretty intense on the scares.
Too dark. That's awesome.
Which, if you listen to Mysteries Incorporated, the podcast regularly, which I hope you do, that's what Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. is about. It's paying homage to the original pitch for a more scary Scooby-Doo than the lighthearted version. But... basically, they went back and forth, and they finally decided on the show. They changed the dog's name because they didn't like the name Too Much.
I think it's a really cute name. I mean, Scooby-Doo, obviously, iconic, but I'd like to see a nod to Too Much in one of the shows in the future.
There, you just might.
Oh, good. All right.
You just might if you keep watching Mystery Incorporated. They went to rename the dog. They're trying to figure out the name. Ruby and Spears said they were listening to Strangers of the Night, Frank Sinatra. And he says, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. And that's where the name Scooby-Doo comes
stuck.
From.
That's great.
And somehow that's better than too much. But the show was revised and all was good. And in 1969, we got Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And that was a breakout series for Hanna-Barbera. And that's where most of us realize our love for Scooby-Doo.
Wasn't Fred renamed Fred as a...
Fred Silverman.
Nod to Fred Silverman. To kind of make him happy, too.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we'll name this character after you.
Yeah.
And, of course, they dropped the whole band idea, which I can see them still being in a band.
Yeah, I suppose.
And if you watch any of the live-action Cartoon Network Scooby-Doo movies, they do have little band homages where they are playing in a band, which is very cute. So Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Ran from 1969 to 1970. There was 41 episodes. That's a lot of episodes for back then, and it was a huge hit. And, of course, it spawned any number of spin-offs, rip-offs, homages.
And by modern standards, like to me, that doesn't seem like too much. Like I had no idea.
Too much.
I had no idea that the original series only ran for 1 year. I mean, it's such a big thing, you know. And I grew up with
these characters.
Well, it was three seasons.
That's they kept breaking it down.
Okay.
So if you watch the first bunch of episodes, it has the classic monsters like werewolf, Wolfman, Dracula. You know,
swamp creatures,
things like that. Traditional. And then
Skeleton Man
is in season two.
Oh, OK.
I believe. And then so after that, we have the Scooby-Doo movies, which is where they teamed up Scooby-Doo with Sonny and Cher, with Don Knotts, with a bunch of other people you never heard of when you were a little kid.
With Kiss, I think.
No,
was that
was
one
later.
Of them?
Was
that later?
Was way later.
Oh, OK. It's a cool one, though.
Because all the people that they team up with had shows on CBS at the time. So Sonny and Cher had their talk show. Mama Cass had a deal with CBS. So when you're little and don't know who that is, why is there a chocolate fandom? I don't understand.
That'd be like Ellen showing up in your cartoon.
It would be.
Yeah.
Phyllis Diller was on the show, which I think, I'm gay. Phyllis Diller, all right, here we go. And now we have Scooby-Doo and Guess Who, which is definitely paying homage to that show. And that was on for 24 episodes, but they were hour-long episodes, and they were two-parters, so that's why they were called the movies, because they were 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And we saw Batman twice on that show, and the Harlem Globetrotters were always there. Always there.
Oh, is that where that comes from, the Harlem Globetrotters? Yeah. They always seem to pop up with Scooby-Doo at some point.
And then Scooby kept coming back here and there throughout the 70s. We had the Scooby-Doo Laugh Olympics. That was their way of capitalizing on the Olympics and adding all the Scooby-Doo knockoff characters to their athletic roster.
I do remember the Laugh Olympics.
It was the Scooby-Doobies, the Yogi Yahooies, the Really Rottens. And it's just an amazing concept. And instead of shying away from the ripoff characters, they just leaned right into it. We're going to show them all together, and you can't tell them apart. And I didn't think it was fair that one team had Jabberjaw, who was a giant shark. You know, if they have any swimming competitions, he's just going to win.
Well,
or eat them.
Or an anthropomorphic talking car with a speed buggy.
That's true.
Cheating for any racing events.
But then came 1979, the dark year of 1979.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, indeed. Rut-row. Because we were introduced, they wanted to change things up. Because that the old Scooby-Doo formula got tired.
Don't mess with perfection.
So they wanted to add something. And they decided they were going to add Scooby-Doo's nephew, Scrappy-Doo.
Everyone hates Scrappy-Doo. Does this go back to when they weren't able to decide between Big Goofy Dog or Peppy Little Dog?
I'm glad you asked. It sure does.
All right.
That was probably the original concept of a tiny feisty dog was Scrappy-Doo.
Puppy power!
Please never say that again. Now, that phrase you just said, puppy power, that was coined by Frank Welker, the voice actor behind Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
And he doesn't get credit for it, but he said, I wouldn't argue with him. He says he was the one that first said it.
I'll take his word for it.
They originally wanted Mel Blanc to be the voice of Scrappy-Doo.
Hmm.
He would have been much less annoying, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But he wanted too much money, so they couldn't afford him. So they went through lots of different voices for Scrappy-Doo.
Mel Blanc, for those listening along at home, would be the voice behind
Bugs Bunny. and hundreds, a man of 100 voices, hundreds of cartoon characters that you know and love. Sadly, he passed away many years ago, but definitely known as the voice of...
responsible for
Bugs Bunny.
All of our childhoods.
Yes,
all
especially
the
Warner
all the voices
Brothers.
Of all the beloved characters from our childhoods.
But if you think of him doing the voice of Scrappy-Doo, I'm like, that could have been cool. But when they added Scrappy, ratings did go up. So he did save the show, and a lot of people love Scrappy-Doo. You, Daniel is pointing to himself.
Oh, our producer is apparently a Scrappy super fan. Had no idea.
That dog. Listen. Yeah, he's this buff dog with a huge head. His body is super muscular, and his head, how does he...
I do like how he constantly walks around like he's on Muscle Beach in Venice, like just strutting around. He has the same unearned self-confidence that I have, which I do enjoy about him. He's
wow.
He's just so
That's
positive
true.
And
you
full
were
of
very...
himself for no reason. And I'm kind of like that too.
But with the creation of Scrappy-Doo, it was like the Cousin Oliver in the Brady Bunch. When you add this random character that shows up for no reason, and then lots of shows started doing it, and now we make fun of it all the time.
Do we ever get any of his backstory? Like, where are his parents? Why is he living with Uncle Scooby?
We do get backstory in the first episode. If you watch the opening credits, he's just thrown off a train, it looks like, and given to Scooby-Doo, which I can understand. But yeah, we do get, because all of a sudden now we start getting the backstory for Scooby-Doo's whole family. Scooby-Dum, Scooby-Dee.
Daisy-Doo.
Yeah, there's a whole tree of Scooby characters, kind of like Snoopy has all those.
The Doo family.
The Doo family.
Is quite large, apparently.
But we had to put up with Scrappy for a long time. Scrappy keeps coming around, and here's the bad thing. Now, if you're out there and you love Scrappy, I liked him in the beginning, but the more they used him, the more they phased out Mystery Incorporated. Fred and Velma were the first to go. They were the first casualties. And
they just dropped the characters?
They just started showing less and less of them.
Okay.
And then finally, it ended with just the three of them, Scooby, Shaggy, and Scrappy. And it became more slapsticky.
Mm-hmm.
And like there are real ghosts and things. And they have to babysit Dracula's kid. And, you know, I'm like, and the episodes were like 10-minute segments.
I don't like that.
And, yeah, it really, really took, in my opinion, it took a nosedive in quality until 1985, where they tried to pull up the plane. once again, 85, we have G.I. Joe, we have Transformers, we have Thundercats. Where does Scooby-Doo live in this world? So they created a show called The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, which was a great try. And by the way, it was the same year that Rubik's Cube came out.
Hey, there you go.
Don't play the song again, please, God. Don't play the song again. It was on the same lineup because that was the year that ABC was trying to have a Latin flavor. So Menudo would sing little songs in between the shows. They'd have little videos. And if Scrappy wasn't annoying enough, they added another little character named Flim Flam, who I think is super racist.
I don't remember Flim Flam.
He's a little Latino kid who steals things.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and he joins them, this weird version of Mystery Incorporated, which is Daphne, who has this weird straight bob haircut that looks like the girl from Speed Buggy, and she has, and the Mystery Machine is gone.
Oh,
there's a van.
What?
There is a van, but it's red. It might still be the Mystery Machine, but look like Knight Rider-y, you know, sleek. And basically, Scooby's in the Himalayas, and he opens the chest of demons and releases 13 of the most evil ghosts of all time.
Of course he does.
The best thing about that show is that it had Vincent Van Gool voiced by Vincent Price.
Okay, that makes up for a lot.
It really does, yeah. And it's a terrible show.
I don't like when they have
bad.
Actual ghosts in the show. To me, the charm of the show is that it's always there's always an answer. There's a logical explanation.
It depends on what camp you live in. Some people like the unmasking. Some people like the real ghosts. I like a mixture of both, as long as it's done correctly. But these ghosts didn't seem very terrifying, and they were quite inept from what I remember. And they didn't solve all 13 ghosts. It ended before they got the last ghost.
So he's still out there.
We know we found the last ghost.
Oh, that's right. They just finished it up.
they released a direct-to-DVD movie, Scooby-Doo and the 13th Ghost. So we had to wait like 30 years to find out what happened to the ghost and Flim Flam, who grew up, and he's quite handsome in the new cartoon. But
did,
yeah,
did
Flim
he mend
Flam.
His ways?
He's this little kid.
And no, like, but I know, but is he still, does he grow up to become like a car thief or something?
No, he's a little more mature than that. He lives, he's legit.
White-collar crime.
Yes, exactly. But Flim Flam had like this sweatshirt on, and he'd like pull things out of the sweatshirt. Like, you know, things disproportionate to what you could store into something.
Okay, yeah, yeah. A sweatshirt of holding.
That was kind of it for Scooby, because we had to wait 3 years before they went back to the drawing board for a pup named Scooby-Doo.
I like that one.
They just said, F it, and they went back. And they got the people who would later on go to help do Tiny Toons and Animaniacs before they did those shows.
Yeah, I can see that in the animation style.
They decided to make...
There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
I do really like this theme song. Basically Muppet Babies, but Scooby-Doo.
Little kid-ized versions of... They had the Flintstone Kids at the time, things like that. And... That song, of course, is very doo-woppy because it takes place in the 60s, and it's supposed to predate them being meddling kids. And so they're little; they have to be like 8
meddling
or 9.
Meddling preteens.
And we establish Coolsville, which is the town they live in, and that would be the real story until Mystery Incorporated takes them to Crystal Cove, which you'll know more about if you listen to our podcast every week like you should. But... So, yeah, and it was cute because they made fun of Scooby-Doo. It was the first time Scooby-Doo had fun with their own, you know, unmasking the villains. And they'd have they'd put the record player on for the chase music.
Oh, yeah. It was like a little more self-referential.
It was very much Animaniacs, Tiny Toons. You could see where they got a lot of the inspiration from.
And the character design, particularly for Scooby, I think is just so adorable.
Because Scooby
so
could have looked like... Scrappy-Doo, but he looked much cuter.
Kind of a proper Scooby.
And
the whole gang is adorable. Velma's
Fred,
super
Fred
cute
has his flat top,
glasses.
Military flat top. Mm-hmm. And Velma's thing, Jinkies on that show, is the cutest thing ever with her big round glasses.
Yeah.
But I think that's 27 episodes. I didn't know it ran that long. It seemed much shorter than that.
That is longer than I thought.
And then we have to wait. This is 1988. It went from 88 to 91. We had to wait all the way until 2002 before Scooby-Doo came back to TV.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize there was that big a break.
There's a huge gap. But once again, Scooby-Doo, hard to find in the modern world. They tried to figure out how he fit in. There was lots of direct-to-DVD movies. There have been 33 of them, by the way.
Oh, wow.
33. And we'll go over each one right now. No, the Cartoon Network and the WB Kids brought him back with What's New Scooby-Doo. And we talked about that in our very first episode of the Mystery Machine podcast. But the update to the gang, the ascot is gone for Fred. He has
some unfortunate fashion choices.
Oh, Daphne. Daphne's kimono robe thing. I don't understand. But that show brought it back, brought Scooby-Doo back for a lot of people. 42 episodes. It was a long
That's
run.
That's pretty good.
And the animation was really good. And it was more like the traditional 1969 series, Monster of the Week. I was watching an episode a few days ago about the Mystery Machine and it being possessed. And they tried to give it a backstory.
Oh, that's
which,
awesome.
Which the Mystery Machine podcast fully endorsed. And then, once again, highs and lows with Scooby-Doo. We had that, and then Warner Brothers, for some reason, decided to make Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue, which is this weird cartoon version of Scooby and Shaggy. The animation style is completely weird.
It's just them. It's not the gang. I don't.
And they're fighting
that
a villain.
Much.
The villain is like a James Bond villain, and every week they go up against him. And I guess it was trying to be like Ben 10 and those type of shows. It was trying to compete with the get the young kids back. But yeah, the
animation
was...
What was the year on that again?
What?
What year was this again?
This was 2006 to 2008.
Okay.
So Cartoon Network
I'm not familiar with this one. I'm going to need to go back and watch some of it.
It lasted 26 episodes.
That's not great.
Basically, Shaggy inherits a lot of money, and he's supposed to use it to stop this supervillain guy.
Okay, sure.
And they look, the design is awful. And if you love that show, I apologize, but it's not very good. But I love it because it made everyone desperate for real Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that's good.
And that's how we got Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, because things had gotten so off the rails that they wanted to get back on track. And that's where we get the show that our podcast is originally
based on. That's
right.
I was going to say, our favorite version of Scooby.
And that's 52 episodes. At the time, that was the longest version. If you're keeping track, it's the 12th version of Scooby-Doo. And then after that, we got Be Cool Scooby-Doo, which we've gone back and forth on the art style, loving it, not loving it.
The art style is honestly a little off-putting at first, but the writing is fantastic.
The show's writing is funny. And
also very self-referential, very campy,
and also 52 episodes.
Oh, hey, nice.
So it tied for with Mystery Incorporated. And now we have Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. So that was kind of their 50th anniversary cartoon that they wanted to kick off with.
And that is ongoing, so we'll see how much of that we get.
It's still on the air. People like Wanda Sykes, her voice is Ricky Gervais. Wonder Woman was in one episode, Batman. So it definitely plays homage, like I said, to the second series, which is a lot of team-ups. But in this case, they're only half-hour episodes, not
I think it's very cute hours. That it's a mix of real current celebrities, sports stars, comedians, actors, and fictional characters like
I still don't remember who that basketball really player is in the first episode.
Oh yeah, I don't.
Daniel,
know.
Do you remember?
Who he is.
Yeah, I feel really bad. Rut-row. That's when you should hit the rut-row key. There we go. Oh, thank God. But that's Scooby-Doo on TV. But that doesn't cover everything, gang, because like I said, we had 33 direct-to-DVD movies. And
sure
the first of which was in 1998, and it's my favorite, and that is Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
That is a classic. That is a true fan favorite.
You should not like that movie, Christopher, because the zombies and monsters are real.
Okay, so in my Scooby-verse, that is the only instance of real ghoulies and bad guys that counts. Oh.
But that's my favorite, and I'm very excited because this week they're releasing Scooby-Doo Return to Zombie Island, which worries me.
Even though they're apparently going to a different
zombie island. It's a different island, but it's still infested with zombies.
We'll see.
I'm just hoping that they don't make it, like, unmasking the zombies.
Okay, see, part of me kind of wants them to retcon it into fake zombies.
You want me to cry?
And solve this mystery for realsies.
I will end this podcast.
I'll be kind of. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. But yeah, 33 of them, and here's just a few of them: Big Top Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo and the Samurai Sword, Abracadabra-Doo.
Oh, I like that.
Scooby-Doo Pirates Ahoy, Aloha Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo Where's My Mummy, and the rest. So they all vary in quality. But that was kind of their way of keeping Scooby-Doo in the zeitgeist and making a pretty penny, I'm sure. The one that I didn't care for was the Mystery Map. Remember with the puppets? We tried to watch that.
Oh, yeah, we did watch. It was very creative because it was so different, but I couldn't really get into it.
They're
puppets. It's all puppets. The Scooby puppet is the most adorable thing ever put on television.
But
he's so cute.
Yeah, Daniel's confused. Scooby puppets in a playhouse, in a treehouse.
The puppets aren't super high quality. It's not like Muppets. It's like straight up hand puppets.
Yeah.
So it's they don't exactly
emote.
It's like
some weird fever dream of Scooby-Doo.
It's kind
of
wild.
And then we got the Lego Scooby-Doo movies, which are amazing.
I haven't seen any of those, but I'm all for the Lego movies in general. So I'm sure it's very cute.
And of course, we had live action. Can't forget Scooby-Doo motion picture. Scooby-Doo with Matthew Lillard, that's where we get Shaggy from.
Some of the most brilliant casting in anything that's ever been put to screen. He's perfect, and he's still Shaggy. I mean, he's still voicing
Shaggy.
The character. So,
Linda Cardellini as Velma, spot
very good.
On performance,
yep, nails it.
Sarah Michelle Gellar does a version of Daphne.
She's
the
weakest
commitment.
She's the weakest casting, I think. Yeah, she's the
weakest member. Freddie Prinze Jr. is fun to say. He, of course, is. Yeah,
he's great as Fred. I like him.
Okay.
I like him as Fred.
All right. But yeah, Scooby-Doo, the best thing about that movie is, of course, Scrappy is the villain, which makes complete sense.
Yeah, they really nail Scrappy to the wall in that, which is great. It's perfect.
But I prefer, as always, I prefer the sequel, Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, because it has all the classic Scooby-Doo villains all after them. And I've always wanted to see them in live action form, like the Tar Monster, you know, the Pterodactyl Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Pterodactyl Ghost is fun to say. Minor 49er. All those people are brought to life in the Skeleton Man.
He's in there. I haven't seen it in so long. I really need to go back and watch that. It is pretty great. I think the best part of that movie, though, is that you get to see all the classic monsters.
And then Cartoon Network decided we can't afford those actors anymore. And for their next two live-action movies, they got a whole new cast of people whose names I sadly cannot remember, except for Fred, who's played by Robbie Amell, who is Stephen Amell, Arrow's cousin. And he makes a pretty good Fred. And Daphne, I apologize if you play Daphne in that movie. I apologize if you're anyone in that movie. But there were two of them. And one was The Mystery Begins. The Mystery Begins. It shows how they got together.
Okay.
Basically, it's The Breakfast Club. They all get detention together, and they form a mystery-solving club, which
and
is what they do.
And they never go back to school
and
in any of the versions.
The
They're
second
never
one
at
is
school.
Curse of the Lake Monster.
Ooh.
And there's a great... The only reason to watch that movie is there's a scene, because the gang get a job at a golf club because Daphne's... uncle owns it, so apparently they've caused so much damage as Mystery Incorporated that they have to get summer jobs to pay for all the things they've destroyed.
Property damage, yeah.
And there's a scene where Fred and Daphne are in their modern outfits, and they're standing outside of a golf store, and in the window you see the classic Fred and Daphne outfits from the 60s, and they hide from the swamp monster, and they dress in those outfits. And he even wears a blonde wig.
Perfect.
Only reason to watch that whole movie is that 5 minutes.
You were telling me the CGI on Scooby is pretty poor.
Unfortunate. You could do better with your own laptop right now, Daniel. You could make a better Scooby-Doo. But if you haven't seen those, they're still cute. To watch at the end of The Lake Monster, they have a cute music video where they're singing in a band, and they run from classic Scooby-Doo villains, but they're not as jazzed up as they are in the big budget movies. So it's like cosplay Scooby-Doo villains.
Okay. Well, I like that. That could be good inspiration for Scooby-Con.
It's cute. So I recommend the second one over the first one. And then last year, they released a Velma and Daphne movie. Which I haven't. I can't bring
blank
myself.
Blank stares all around the table here on that one.
Yeah.
Is it a cartoon or
it's
live
a live
action?
I can't bring myself to watch it.
Just the two of them?
And I'm fine with
I'm
that.
I'm so confused. Wait, is them and Scooby or just
no,
them?
No, Scooby. It's just the two girls.
Oh, weird.
Girl power, Nancy Drew.
Sure, great characters, but that's an odd choice.
From what
to
I've
me.
Seen in the preview, it just. I'm not. I don't know if I'll ever.
Is it a rom com? Is it like how the two of them get together? God.
Like, that would be great.
Jinkies!
That, all right. That's all you can say about that,
yeah,
really.
It
was one of those, once again, it was like Cartoon Network movie, direct to DVD. And if you've seen it and you like it, awesome.
We might have to sit down and watch that. I'm intrigued.
I don't know.
Maybe I need to sit down and watch that. I'll let
We'd
you
have
know.
To have some of those Scooby-Doo cocktails that you're going to make.
Yeah, there you go.
In the future. But, we just gave you just the tiniest look at Scooby-Doo on the big screen and the small screen. That doesn't mention its cultural impact on the entire world. That's why we're celebrating 50 years of Scooby-Doo, folks. That's why you're listening to this. That's why you've come to play with us in this podcast, is that all of us have our favorite version of Scooby-Doo, whether it's a pup named Scooby-Doo or if you love Scrappy-Doo. you know, it's something that has lasted for 50 years, just such a basic concept. Kids and a talking dog solving mysteries. And it's not going away anytime soon, because next year we have a new Scooby-Doo movie just called Scoob. And
Scooby-Doo live action.
It's not live action.
Oh, it's not?
It is computer generated.
Okay.
And they released what Shaggy's going to look like this week. and he looks pretty good. They're going back to the classic versions of the characters. But if you watch like the Peanuts movie, think that, you know, where it's them, but expensive them.
who's doing it? Who's putting this out?
It's Warner Brothers.
It is. Well, yeah. Okay.
Their office.
Is it Warner Brothers Animation or are they
like, WB Animation?
Okay.
It's a big budget movie, and they got a good voice cast, which has caused some controversy because Matthew Lillard is not Shaggy. Kate Micucci is not Velma.
Really?
They got...
They dropped them both. Wow.
Can you look that up? Will Forte is Shaggy.
Oh, okay. I do really
I'm not
like
mad at that.
No, I bet he'll
Zac
be great.
Zac Efron is Fred, which is the part he was born to play,
too.
Really.
Yeah.
And wait, is Mira Sorvino, she's Daphne, isn't she? Mina Savari. Wow, those are different people.
Well, yep.
Mira Sorvino, she won an Oscar. She could be the grandma or the hot aunt if you're in Spider-Man. Amanda Siegfried. The girl with the big Siegfried and Roy. The girl with the big eyes.
As Daphne. Daphne. Okay, I could see that too.
Who's
actually.
Velma? Is it Gina Rodriguez?
I do like her.
I'm looking at my producer here.
So we didn't do our homework, folks. Sorry.
I know. It's a lovely Hispanic woman. And I think it's Gina Rodriguez. But we'll get back.
We'll loop back to that.
We'll be right back, folks. But it's a live action, but no, it's computer generated live action-y sort of movie, and it will have Blue Falcon.
Oh, that's right! You told me about that. That's exciting. That's super
Captain,
cool.
Captain Caveman in it.
Daniel's
Gina
giving
Rodriguez.
Us the nod.
It is
Gina
Rodriguez. So Velma is Hispanic now, which good for her. Nothing wrong with that. Daniel's Hispanic, and we love him.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to lean into that for the character. That'd be cool.
They might as well. But that's coming out next year, and they're releasing things. They haven't even released a trailer yet, so we're super excited. I'm super excited about that because their office used to be behind mine, and I used to see their storyboards, and it looks really cool. And basically...
Oh, can you snag a storyboard?
No.
Oh, no, you definitely couldn't do that kind of thing. No, certainly not. Never mind.
Ixnay on the Agsnay. But... basically, Dick Dastardly is taking over the world, and Scooby has to join the Justice League of Hanna-Barbera to stop him.
Sold.
Yeah, right?
That sounds great.
So it Tracy Morgan is Captain Caveman. Tracy Morgan is Captain Caveman.
That's perfect.
You've already bought your tickets. You're already online right now buying them.
I'm buying out a whole theater so I can enjoy it on my own. Yeah, this is going to be great.
You can expect a special podcast from us sitting outside the theater getting reactions.
I'm going to be live podcasting during the movie. Yeah, in the movie theater. A lot of people are going to be very angry with me, but it'll be a great episode.
It'll
so.
Be better than this one, I'm sure. But... But we really wanted to do Scooby-Doo justice for his 50 years. There's so much we could talk about. But whatever Scooby-Doo you love, keep loving him. We want you to send us your picture with Scooby-Doo, and we'll announce the contest winners in a week or two.
Let's see your Scooby swag out there, everyone. If you got a favorite Scooby shirt or a plush or...
plush.
You know, in 50 years, I bet there's some wild merchandise out there.
I saw a Scooby-Doo stapler.
Stuff. See, there you
on
go.
On eBay.
Why?
For $100. I almost bought it, everybody. I almost bought it. This podcast has got me dog crazy. But yeah, there's some weird Scooby stuff out there.
I bet.
If anyone made you a Scooby-Doo birthday cake for your birthday and you got a picture of that, would love to see it.
Scrappy-Doo cupcakes.
Please no. But we're going to wrap this up because we could go on for hours and hours, but we won't.
If you can't tell, we're already rambling a bit.
We love Scooby, and that's why we're here, and that's why you're here at the Mr. Machine Diaries. Please, once again, find us on the Facebooks at the Mr. Machine Diaries or on Instagram.
At us at Mystery Machine Diaries.
And give us your suggestions, things you want us to go over. But next week, we'll be back to our regular scheduled podcast. In the meantime, pleasant dreams.
Happy birthday, Scoob.
We got some work to do now. Ooh.